Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Mind Clickers Season 3, Episode 6, where it's time to click both heads in 2021. I'm joined today by a very special guest, that is Tekro, who is a graphic designer from the New York Subliners. How you going, man?
I'm doing good, man. How are you?
I'm doing very well. I'm super keen to have this episode. You know, I used to do a little bit of graphics in the past, a little bit of dabbing, but really keen to just kind of get into your creative design mindset and really just have a chat about some cool stuff.
Thank you for letting me on the show. It's an honor. Like, I've been wanting to do this for a while. I remember I was going to do a podcast, but never got to it. But now it's finally been the opportunity.
So yeah,
it's been,
man,
a while, but yeah.
Yeah, man, for sure. I love that. I guess what we'll do is we'll kick into what we do usually, which is kind of like the background arc, like I like to call it. So I guess a bit about yourself, you know, schools, and I guess what you've been up to recently.
So recently, you know, I've kind of been looking at college a lot. So I did get accepted to college, which I'm doing pretty soon in the upcoming months, a diploma. So it's a little bit more of, I kind of looked at more, I see like with Subliners, you know, NYXL, I see specifically with NYXL, they kind of have this whole illustration idea with their whole social media. And that's kind of the strive right now. Like, I don't know if you've seen with LEC, teams like Rogue, Misfits, they've always got this illustration style going on now.
Yeah.
So that's kind of, I feel like with esports, someone like PopCorp, let's say, who's kind of heading to this whole Blender area, that's the future of kind of designing right now. That's at least as I see it. So I think to jump on that table is definitely a gold mine to actually, you know, explore it and get really good at it.
Yeah.
I think some of my goals, though, is probably as soon as I finish school, hopefully go full time. That's one of the main goals. But yeah, if people don't know me, a lot of people actually don't even... Everyone thinks I'm from New York just because it says NYSL. I'm from Canada, you know, a small town.
Yeah.
I'm actually in the Vancouver region, so...
Oh, hell yeah.
Secretly, I kind of support Vancouver Titans. Because, you know, they're my favorite team. Kind of fell down a little bit recently. You know, they lost Bumper, one of my favorite. He's probably one of my icons out there. Best player in the game.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah, awesome, man. And I guess to take it a step back, when did you first get into, you know, graphic design, you know, testing out, making your own sort of stuff even, or even like a bit of editing? How long ago was that?
That was 5 years ago. And that was, I think you could find my Twitter, my old Twitter, where I made, you know, everybody started on Minecraft. That was the whole era. You know, I remember I used to make YouTube videos and also like design all my work for that. That's where I really started. But then when it kind of started, like kind of later on, I did make my first esports project. That was for Team Liquid.
Official, obviously.
But, you know, it was a start. And when I kind of got to the area, it was more like I discovered Sesso. And everybody knows Sesso, one of the biggest icons in the community itself. Everyone starts from someone like Sesso. I feel like that's just such a typical story from people.
Yeah.
But, you know, after, I feel like he just kind of introed me to the whole esports area. But then after that, I kind of ventured off to just like my own work. And from there, that's kind of where I just took it from. And I mean, I've been pretty successful at it and doing it for like, I think it's been a year and a half since I've even, maybe 2 years almost coming up here since I started like the whole esports designing.
Yeah,
and I feel like I've definitely made a lot of progress.
Yeah,
and I've probably accomplished a lot of my goals, especially you know, working for a team like Subliners.
Yeah,
that's a big one.
Yeah, hell yeah, man! And I guess when you first started, like even just dabbling in graphics, did you think that you would get to where you are now?
No, I actually had a plan. I was like thinking I'm gonna get into like designing. I'm gonna do for fun, and I'm gonna go off and become like maybe a carpenter, maybe do something with AutoCAD, like the whole 3D programs, designing.
Yeah.
I kind of thought that. And then I kind of just started to see, like, you know, the opportunities arise from, you know, everywhere. And there was just like so much. So now I've kind of just put my full attention into focusing on this because it will be the future. Like, esports is growing fast. The industry is getting bigger and bigger every day. So there's a lot more opportunities coming and they definitely need a lot more people in the future.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I wasn't too sure. I know that a couple of graphics designers, like we got a couple for the Renegades, where Stroud. I'm on board with. Yeah, for sure. We got Stroud. But it's a very interesting area because, you know, I used to do a bit of graphics back in the day of Cybergamer. You know, we used to have a Black Ops 2 team and I used to try and do like the team graphics and stuff, but it didn't look that good, but you know, it looked all right.
That's like 10 years ago almost.
Yeah, long time, man. Long time. Like, back in the Modern Warfare 2, Black Ops 2 days.
I remember the whole esports era way back. It was either, I don't know if you remember, but there was like teams like LA where it was just a trendy like grunge style. Like 100 Thieves had that whole grunge style. Like 100 Thieves Alapaca, you know, he had that whole, it was a whole like, it was just whole style everyone was into.
Yeah.
And then there was either you're on the grunge side or you just had this like infamous layer packing style of just like, you know, it looked really clean.
Yeah.
But, you know, really complex at the same time.
Yeah, for sure. And I guess, you know, you mentioned just briefly in regards to the future of graphics, how far do you reckon we can push it? Because I was thinking like in terms of graphics, we could start getting into like a lot more 3D sort of like actual augmented reality graphics. You know, where can we take graphics, do you reckon?
I think if we take a step back and if you look at, there's like, I feel like if you go into a bookstore, you start looking at all the covers.
Yeah.
I feel like for bigger companies like LEC, the ideas are unlimited. There are so many like ideas because it's a poster. You know, a poster is kind of like a book cover almost.
Yeah.
And the simplicity, like I wish I have a few examples upstairs, but
yeah,
the simplicity of that whole designing, it's kind of like illustration. I think that's one of the areas we need to definitely venture in. Obviously, 3D is a huge one. That's kind of, you know, coming up right now. A lot of people are doing that. One which is PopCorp, really, like I'd say he's probably by far one of the best I know right now.
Mm-hmm.
He works for Misfits and Florida Mayhem and a bunch of other organizations within that.
Yeah, for sure. Now, it's like the graphics circle, like a close-knit circle. So obviously, like, does everyone within like the top tier esports organization, graphic designers, do they all know each other? Is it kind of like a circle you've guys got?
I feel like when it comes to Sublance, I feel like I know every guy who works at like Envy or Dallas Empire, and especially a lot at Rocker, which is
Okay.
I feel like I don't know really any. Like, I feel like some of the unknown ones is Washington Justice. I only know one guy, which I'm friends with, but I don't know anyone else. Like, there's like Shanghai Dragons. Don't really, you know many two people.
Yeah, wow. Area,
but obviously within, you know, the US region, I think everybody's pretty connected.
Yeah, hell yeah. And, you know, I've been really interested in this. Is there a competitiveness of graphics? So for example, is there a need to, you know, make your graphics look better than, you know, like Rockers, for example, or is there, you know, is there kind of some competitiveness, not within the game, but actually within graphics?
There's been some competitiveness within the, I'd say the Call of Duty region.
Yeah.
A lot of people have been wanting to just like get like designer tournaments going. Literally just like just designing itself going at it. I feel like that's what the people want. I don't think graphics are really, you know, competitive for a lot of people. It's just I think outside people just like, you know, want to have fun with that.
Yeah, for sure. That's really interesting. Now, I guess the biggest thing that I kind of struggled back in the day was, you know, kind of this idea of developing inspiration. Like, I could look towards online videos or I could look towards, you know, outside or, you know, whatever people say nowadays. But where do you get your inspiration and how do you kind of formulate that?
I think my inspiration comes from, I think one of my projects I worked on was, it was for Clocks Esports. And it was more of like a grunge style a lot of people haven't done. So I was kind of looking through, I don't even know, I think it was like around a few buildings, kind of saw this whole paint idea. You know, paint kind of, after it gets old, it kind of looks shady. I wish I had a few examples of the designs. But that's one of the inspirations that kind of, it kind of led me to this different grunge style. For sure. One of my projects. I don't know. There's like not really too many for me because a lot of it was like Sesso and then I kind of just took my own lead after that. And I mean there's been a few like a few people within the Call of Duty region. Like there's the, I forget who is the art director of, he's the art director for Vancouver Titans and
Seattle
Surge. He's another one. I think he's in, you know, at least one of the top ones for me.
Yeah.
Personally, right now, he's one of the top ones. And there's, what's his name? He is Ramon something. I forget his name. He's a big one too. I think he's probably at my top at least right now. Yeah. He did the subliners, all like the subliners designing, which is you know, looks really good.
Yeah,
and he's probably by far my favorite right now.
Yeah, hell yeah, man. And you know, I guess when you come to, I guess for example, not graphic design, but say for example, you're doing something creative. There tends to be some sort of generator. Now, do you like kind of use some sort of generator, like a color palette generator, to try and think, okay, I'm going to try and experiment with this now, or I'm going to try and experiment with these colors? Is that something that you kind of go through?
Not necessarily. I think when you're working, like a lot of people do fan projects and stuff, they kind of just tend to work with like the same color palette. But there are people who, I don't know, it's called this like reverse esports color palette, where people will try and make like optic gaming, you know, with a red color instead of I've seen that on Twitter quite a bit.
Interesting. Yeah. So
there's not really too many people, but I think for color palettes, I think if you were to say like who has the best color palettes, probably someone like Florida Mayhem, who goes with like the pink and the light blue, which is like really good right now.
Yeah, for sure. Something that's really vibrant, pops to the eyes, is appealing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure, man. I guess that's the ultimate goal for all graphics, right?
Oh yeah, it is.
Now, when I was doing graphics back a little while ago, there was this kind of common tenacity for, I guess, not really people to copy, but people to kind of take similar ideas. Now, does that sort of happen, you know, within the top tier levels?
Yeah, there's been a few. I don't want to mention, I don't want to call out like a few.
Yeah, no stress.
But Rise Gaming had kind of some of their designs copied. That was one of my, that was actually just like yesterday I saw that.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the guys over there, Raw, tweeted about it. I've had a lot of people, take my Qualx esports designs and you know, make their own kind of idea of that. I've had a lot of people do that, and there's been, you know, a few other projects, but I think a lot of people could make you know, they don't have to copy these ideas. Like there's a lot easier ways of coming up with different ideas.
Yeah,
and I think one of them is looking to poster designs. Like a lot of people don't like go look at that, but some of the like orgs, I don't know, like one of them was called Vex. They had this different looking, you know, a lot of people do like a team versus team, simple typography, you know, everybody does the same style, but it seemed like Vexed, when they had, I think it was Daniel who made their rebrand. He changed the whole typography style with that project, which definitely one of the styles I look at and I'm like, it's like different. It's, you know, it's not the same, but it's not correct, but it just works. Like, you know, it just works. So that's,
Yeah, for sure. Love that. And I guess that really comes onto this mindset of, if you want to test something new, is it about just understanding, okay, I like this. How do you kind of gauge, well, is it going to be popular with other people? Because obviously there's this obviously big thing where I guess you might be scared that people will criticize you. I'm sure this happens a lot with, I guess, younger designers who are looking to get into the scene, starting to design their own things. And it's like, they don't want to be judged, that they might, people might think it's trash. How do you kind of overcome that mindset?
I think, you know, it kind of goes to developing your own style. But for me, styles have never really been there for me. I feel like as soon as you start to develop a style, if it doesn't work, you just won't get that good amount of attention. But I think being varied as much as you can is the best. Like I think for esports designers, a style shouldn't be there for you. Like a style is meant for, you know, social media designers who kind of do stream graphics.
Yeah.
One big example is Nala. Nala has probably one of the best styles. Like he creates mascot logos. He does extreme packages. He has his own style, which is completely different from a lot of other people.
Yeah.
He's doing it right out here. When it comes to marketing and everything, he is at the top right now. But I think for esports, a style shouldn't be really there. I feel like whenever you're working with a project, you need to be different for, you know, each client. So I think that's what people need to be doing. And that's at least what I try to do.
Yeah.
So,
Yeah, for sure. I guess just having many different styles that you can jump into the bag and just kind of pick out and experiment and play with.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And I guess when you look towards going to obviously college, upcoming soon, is there any specific kind of skills that you want to learn there that you can helpfully supplement into the esports industry?
The whole big one is illustration. That's going to be one of the biggest ones. And a lot of people, and at that college specifically, they do a lot of 2D illustration animation, which is not, it's not what people see. Like, I think Overwatch League has that kind of like 2D style, which is pretty big for them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one of the areas that I definitely want to look more into, because I feel like the whole simplistic 2D style definitely separates you from other people.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that's really interesting. I've definitely noticed, I really like Overwatch's graphics design. That feels really clean. I think Blizzard as a whole really does kind of stand out and just pop to the eye. But I guess that's why they are so appealing as well.
Yeah.
Sure. Obviously, do you think that there's gotten to a point where, I guess, graphics design, there's just too many people trying to make it, or it's like there's not enough at the moment?
I think for right now, the market itself is pretty oversaturated, and that's why I think someone like Popcorp, I always go to this guy.
Yeah.
He didn't really do, I didn't really see him do like illustration, at least. I mean, he probably does. I just didn't see it.
Yeah.
But someone like Popcorp who does like 3D and illustration has kind of set himself to a different bar to a lot of other people. And I think, a few orgs that are like that is like Paper Crowns. Like if you work for Paper Crowns, you're really good at what you do. Like Paper Crowns has done it different out here. So that's one of the things. And another is that a lot of people nowadays are trying to create a lot of the same things, which is what I see. And it's not really catching anyone's attention.
Right.
Like maybe if you're just like, a person who wants to get like a rebrand or some design done, yeah. But if you're a company, you need to have like a whole different, whole different graphics done compared to like any of the competitors. That way it sets you different within the market.
Yeah.
And if you do the same thing, it just, makes it oversaturated. And I think that's what a lot of people are doing right now. But there's people are definitely looking differently in the market that they'll definitely rise up in the future.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely. And I guess I'm not sure if you do any like outsourced freelance work or anything on the side or anything like that. Do you?
Not too much anymore. Mm. I kind of stopped taking a lot of client work or freelance. Because I think, when it comes to creating a job, I think you need to, a lot of people are like, they'll just take whatever work they can. The guy needs, you got to set your bar higher, like way, way higher.
Yeah.
And that will create a lot more opportunities for you.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I definitely like that mindset to, I guess, obviously be within that top elite kind of graphic standard for sure, man.
Yeah.
Love that. And it really reflects back, I guess, when I was doing graphics, even recently when I've been doing some graphics for my clickers as well, just trying to work through it and kind of build, my own style. But then also, because obviously I'm very within the esports area, I can see like so many different teams, and it's tricky to not really, use them for inspiration, but try and develop my own style. So I can definitely understand from a graphics design perspective, especially for someone who's, really trying to get into the scene, 14, 15-year-old really trying to build up their own portfolio, that could be difficult.
Oh, yeah, it can be difficult. And I think my hugest tip for a lot of people is look at what everyone is doing and just do the complete opposite. Like if you had like an inverse option in Photoshop, just hit that button, just create something completely different to what people are doing.
Yep.
Like I think one of the teams that did that was Exit kind of started making their graphics, more looking like thumbnails. But a lot of people are like, oh, this looks horrible. It's genius marketing, because who actually does it right now?
Yeah.
Like thumbnails are pretty much an attention grabber, and they're getting your attention super easy like that.
Mm. Yeah, for sure. Definitely. That's really interesting. Cause obviously thumbnails has their own kind of specific design pattern. So if you can use that and incorporate to the standard, then that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, and that's what I think his name's Zach. He's out over at Exit.
Yeah, for sure. Now, just briefly, that I mentioned that, you know, the word portfolio. Is it important to build your portfolio so that you have some sort of established, you know, kind of collection of what you've done in the past?
Oh yeah, you definitely need a portfolio. I think getting a website too is one of them. Mm. But you know, depending what you're trying to do, like let's put Sesso. He works for 100 Thieves. He makes content. Like I think, you know, he's at the top. He's just on a different level. You know, some people don't have time for that, so you kind of have to choose. Like I feel like someone like Edward, for example, Edward DZN, he's pretty big over on YouTube. He does a lot of tutorials, helps a lot of people.
Yeah,
he focuses a lot more on content. Whether, you know, me, I kind of, you know, I poke my head in, you know, maybe do a few little videos here and there.
Mm.
But a lot of times I'm pretty focused on building my portfolio and, you know, working within the industry. That's my main focus, but whatever fills your boat.
Yeah, for sure. And do you think that in the future you'll look to expand the more side of content creation?
Yeah, I'll definitely be looking at that. But right now with like, you know, time, college, all that, definitely very limited to what I can, you know, do within a day.
Yeah.
So hopefully in the future after that, that will definitely come around.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely. That's really interesting. Now, I guess one of the other questions I was thinking about is when you look internationally, can you kind of think that, because obviously, you know, COD scene has a very specific graphic style, but do we look towards, I guess, Europe or Asia or even Oceania to see different graphic styles coming in those regions as well?
I think the bigger ones out there, you got teams like G2, you got teams like Fnatic.
Mm.
I feel like they're in like a completely different league.
Yeah.
Because over in NA, you know, we have Overwatch League, we have Call of Duty League.
Yeah.
They don't have that. They don't have that there. So they really have to, you know, do something different over there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a team like, I think it was G2 who created, they had the whole Adidas promo video. That was probably one of the best things I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Other teams too, like Heretics is one, like, you know, they're really solid out there.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I'm not sure, but I think LEC is in Asia or around that area.
Yep.
Which is they've always just kept this simplistic style, or they kind of bump it up here and there, but I think when it comes to simplicity, they're at the top right now.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely. It's really interesting to look at that, Stan, and I guess think that there's kind of different regions who have different graphical standards, because that kind of helps to split the pack kind of.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah, really interesting. I guess within where you are at the moment in Canada, is there any kind of graphics kind of differentiation between, I guess, Canada and NA, or not really?
Not really. There's not really too many orgs in Canada. Like a few I can name off is Lazarus and probably Luminosity Gaming.
Yeah.
But I don't really know too many other ones than that, and they're kind of, you know, they're just there with everyone else, like, we're all fitting in.
Yeah, for sure, man. Now, I guess the kind of the big tale that I wanted to get into is, I guess, your kind of build up to Subliners. So obviously, you know, you were kind of chipping away, building your own portfolio, doing your own thing. And, you know, what was that story there?
So I think it was just on Twitter. My friend Meadows, I was kind of just like looking around. He kind of sent me a few people, and just like out of the ordinary, he sent me Matt on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
He says he's talked to him a few. He said he might be looking for people. I didn't really think too much about it. I kind of went on with my day. And the funny story is that later I messaged him, and we had this like quick conversation. It was really quick.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, I was about to go to the eye doctor, and Matt's just like, You gotta get home right now, really quick. We gotta like, you know, we gotta start talking.
Yeah.
He was like, I have to go back to see the messages, but
yeah.
I think he was just in love with like my whole mindset and work I had at that time.
Mm.
And I remember within that first day, I did my first project. People don't even know what it is. It's called a lockup design, which is kind of more like a, it's kind of like a podcast sort of thing, but it's kind of like creating like a logo design, not for really for a term, more for like an event, you'd say. And I created my first one, and it just hit off. And from there, I started slowly working with them.
Yeah.
And I think it's been over 3 months, 2 months now. And it's been, you know, it's been going phenomenal. And I remember within those days, when I started working for them, it was like, I think I can do this as like a full-time thing now. I feel like I can make it now. And since there, I think my whole mindset has just changed about esports. Like, I feel like people look at brands nowadays, like all, you know, everyone who tries to be, you know, creative. I think there's a different level from creativity, branding, and, you know, all that.
Yeah.
And a lot of people who don't work in esports with these teams, like, you know, Subliners, they're pretty picky. It seems like they don't really know how it works out here.
Yeah.
And, you know, I went from this guy who was like, I got to create the sickest looking graphics to, okay, let's take a step back here and, you know, rethink the whole idea of what it means to work in, like, you know, with an esports org and designs. Cause I remember I was making overcomplicated work and it just didn't look good. And, you know, if you take that step back and you know, you have to make it simplistic, that's what they want out here. And yeah, it's just hit off since then.
Yeah, for sure. Wow. And I guess, is there a pressure, I guess, when you're designing something, especially for Subliners, is there a pressure to, you know, really just make it the best? Because obviously not every single work can be your absolute top work. So is there kind of like underlying pressure to just really want it to be good?
Yeah, there was that at the start for me. It was really hard because I was making a lot of mistakes. It wasn't a good look. And I think after a while, it definitely started to go a lot better.
Yeah.
Everything was coming together almost. And it was really hard at the start. But I think it's because, you know, working in this area is just, it's in a different level. Like, you know, everything's got to be different. You know, like I kind of remembered I would be making typography like as if it would say, I don't know, like the important information wouldn't just be there. It wouldn't be there. But, you know, after, you know, working with Subliners, you had to kind of really make your message bold. And that's the whole idea that they look for. And that's my one big tip is you got to look bold out here. If you're not bold, clean, you know, the whole idea is, at least for Subliners, is kind of what I've learned is if the message isn't there, the design doesn't matter. If the typography isn't there, they don't care how it looks. The message needs to be there because that's what the fans, you know, it's for the fans. It's not for you. You know, it's, you know, there's some, for me, there's like personal goals and then there's work goals, you know. Personal goals are like some of the designs I created for, like, I did one poster for Aiden. That was more of like a personal goal to just achieve something higher for myself. And then, you know, there's like post and, you know, Subline graphics where it's like you got to keep the flow going, the professionalism and, you know, the top tier quality that you can do out here.
Yeah, for sure, man. Love that. I completely agree. And I think having that strong mindset towards your own graphics and believing in yourself can really just help you to give that little bit more inspiration, a little bit more motivation to be able to create something really cool.
Yeah, that's for sure. And I think another thing too is when I did start working with Subliners, the whole thing for a lot of people out here when it comes to esports is that, like, you got to almost, I think it was, which project it was. It was, oh, here's a good example. So we were doing the home series designs, and I remember like we were thinking like these just look too minimalistic, like kind of like just what the brand, you know, is kind of what it is. But this is home series. We need to go above and beyond. And I remember changing every single design that I made in that project. I changed every single one bit. Like I remember going like the background color was like gray. And then we changed every single one and we went to a bright yellow. And I remember like my boss, he was like, this is the style. Like, this is it right here. This is bang on. And I think throughout that whole project, we ran with that whole style because it's something that Subliners really never did. So that's kind of like the whole route we want to take with the whole project. And that's probably by far one of my, most proud projects I've ever created.
Yeah. Hell yeah, man. Love that. That's so sick. I guess to really just try something new and then just feel affirmation about it.
Yeah. And I think the whole style we had going on, like, it was just completely different from a lot of other teams. I mean, there's people who had the similar, like, you know, the whole drawing style, but we just completely did it on a different level.
Yeah. Love that, man. And I guess when you take that kind of differentiation on paths, I guess you change the style up so much. Is there a little bit of like, oh, hang on, is this going to work? Is this actually going to be okay? And I guess as soon as you hit send, it's like, oh, okay, are they going to like it? Are they, oh, they're reading it now. What kind of goes on?
It's kind of like scary at first. You're like, all right, we got to get this done. Obviously there's deadlines out here. So
yeah,
we're like, you know, we're pretty hesitant about it. But I think, you know, the start when it came to that, we were like, this isn't going to work. I remember he was kind of saying that to me, like, we gotta do something different. Mm-hmm. And I remember I was creating the wallpapers. I was creating like this design or whatever for it. And then I sent that. And then it was from there on, it was just like, we gotta roll this out. Like, this is the style that we need to have. Cause
yeah,
I mean, Subliners Relay has never, you know, done something like this.
Mm.
And yeah, that's something you definitely have to do out here. Cause I mean, you know, I feel like, you know, other teams who did their home series, they kind of just took the brand and, you know, just add a little bit more. But I feel like over at Subliners, we definitely have one of the best looking home series designs ever out there. Like, yeah. I don't know another team that can really top over that one, because that it was just unbelievable.
Yeah, for sure. Well, man. That's really inspirational too. I guess, you know, for all those guys listening in who are looking to go into the graphics scene, you know, that, you know, there is ups and downs, there is a bit of hesitation that does happen, but at the end of the day, all you got to do is just kind of believe in your own graphics.
Yeah, that's all you have to do, really. And if you believe in that, you know, you'll definitely get a lot more confident. And you know, when you're just like in the vibe of that, like the whole idea of just like not creating something good, it just isn't there for someone like me. Like, as soon as I start vibing with a whole project,
yeah,
it just goes with the flow and everything comes out really good.
Yeah, love that, man. Hell yeah. And I guess you mentioned it very briefly, but this whole idea of typography. Now, obviously, you know, I like to download, you know, fonts and all that kind of stuff, but how hard is it to go ahead and create your own font or your own typography? What's that process look like?
So I think I haven't really made a font ever. I haven't really explored into that. But mm-hmm. I think making a font isn't too difficult. If you know how to do it, you can definitely do it. But I think for a lot of people, especially for someone like me, mm-hmm. If you look at Helvetia and 100 Thieves, you're like, all right, that's Helvetia, 100%. But then I was kind of like looking at Helvetia. There's a lot more to Helvetia than a lot of people thought.
Yeah,
people wouldn't believe this, but our fonts over at Subliners are all Helvetia.
Yeah.
Like, people like, you know, at NYXL, they're like, okay, that's not Helvetia. It is Helvetia. It's just a taller font. And then the other one that we use, it's like Helvetia Wide, I forget what it's called. But that's also Helvetia. A lot of people don't know that. But I think with typography too, creating your own style definitely needs to be there. If you can really get the gist of it, it looks way better when creating actual, like, the real deal of graphics for companies.
Yeah.
I think one person who's like really, I forget his name, Elgiandro, I forget who he is, but he has his own style of esports. And I don't know, like, I think when it comes to the typography style, he definitely hits that spot. You know, maybe not, you know, industry level, but for like the whole, you know, just typography in general, the message is clear and he's got good right there.
Yeah. Wow. For sure. And I guess, obviously, how important is to choose the right font? Because obviously you want it to be readable, you want it to be bold, but how important is to actually just choose the right font for the right design?
I think for depending on what you're doing, I think, unless, you know, for Subliners, we have a single font, or not a single font, but we have two different fonts. We use Roboto, and yeah, it's Helvetia Wide, I think.
Yeah.
I think, you know, for a lot of other companies, it just depends how your style of graphics are. someone like Rise, like their fonts are super duper tall, but that's how they go over there. And I think Rise definitely they look really good with that kind of style. But I think for a lot of people, maybe a good org example is Heretics. They go with a tall and a short font. Mm. And depending on the information you're displaying, it can be really good, or you could really screw it up bad.
Yeah.
But Heretics, like their old style, they would have like a whole side of information, and they were making it fit super well. Like the bold message needed to be there. You had multiple ideas going on within it, and mm-hmm. it looked super different to pretty much any other team that was going on. That's one thing too. Heretics has probably one of the most different graphic styles out there compared to any other org, especially their older ones. Their new ones, they follow, they kind of go with orange a lot more, but their older ones, nothing compares to their whole typography and colors, because they were doing like pink for some designs, and whoever does that, like, you're like, oh, that's Heretics right there, you can't really miss them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. And I guess the final thing that I wanted to ask, obviously, in terms of that style, when you've established that style for such a long time, how hard is it then to change like color scheme? Because obviously, you brought up the yellow with subliners, but then if a brand's already established, is changing color scheme this whole massive thing, or is it just like, okay, we're changing colors?
I think one example is NIP. And I think, some teams that kind of failed to do that. I mean, not really failed, but in terms of branding, I feel like Hellraisers, I don't know if they literally have eyebrows for their whole, that's literally their whole design pretty much. Yep. They kind of screwed up. They screwed up bad, but one of the extremely successful ones, I would say, is someone like, or a team like, I think Dignitas. Dignitas is one for sure. Like they go with yellow and red. I mean, the red doesn't really fit as much, but it definitely works. And they're definitely, one of the teams out there that, they're probably one of the best looking rebrands. Another one, NIP, they went from this brownish kind of light brownish color to like pretty much like green or a full on.
Yeah.
And they definitely came out on top with that. Like I feel like their whole old branding just kind of felt like it was just there, but then now their colors are super vibrant and it looks really good on them.
Yeah, for sure. Oh man, love that. I guess as we turn off the keys and roll down the slope towards the end now, obviously we have a lot of, the audience on MindClickers is quite diverse, it's quite varied. So obviously we have, pro level players, coaches, CEOs listening in. And even those kind of younger guys who are looking to enter into the esports, and I'm sure some of them, graphics has crossed their mind. So I guess for some of those guys who are looking to, really start to venture into their graphics kind of career, or even what advice would you give them? Would it be like in regards to starting to develop your portfolio early, or start to look for different inspirations? What would be the best bet?
I think my best advice is look at different styles, what like people are doing, like PopCorp, they're adventuring into the whole 3D. I think pick up illustration. Mm-hmm. If you have those traits, you can definitely create something super different from a lot of other people. And one of the guys over at Misfits, I'm not sure his name, but he does illustration, and he got picked up by Misfits. Like illustration just can't go unnoticed. Like that's what a lot of companies are looking for nowadays. Like someone with good Photoshop experience will, they won't really get chosen. Like the one who's really good with illustration, like, that's what teams are looking for.
Yeah.
If you pick up, just anything different, you'll look good. Even like Cinema 4D, I'm not sure if that really relates, but other programs like that, will definitely look good. That's something I've been looking into a lot, is just venturing into that whole area.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think another one too is you just got to keep your messages bold. Like if you create unique typography and, something different, it's not like the usual whole standard. I feel like the standard of esports is have a shape on the right or something, your text on the left, kind of mesh in the middle. I feel like even with headers, it's like have your character there and a guy on the left. Like, something like a team like Subliners, we have this whole repeating stroke text idea. Mm-hmm. And that definitely separates us, because even though we have such a thin font, we can mm-hmm. expand it to, you know, look a lot bigger, and it catches a lot more attention. Because I feel like without that idea, there just wouldn't be too much there.
Yep.
But with the idea, it definitely gets a lot more people looking at it.
Yeah,
but
sure.
I think, yeah, the whole overall, though, is look at what everyone is doing and just do the complete opposite. And you'll be looking good. You'll have a bright future. You'll make an esports. But for the people who aren't doing that right now, I would just say look at different programs and styles right now. And mm-hmm. You know, like Overwatch League, their graphics, like, you know, you could definitely adventure into that whole area. But you want to jump on it early, because people are going to start working on it soon. But I think the big one too is definitely that, and something like Blender with the whole 3D style. So mm-hmm. if you jump on it early, you're going to be looking good. Like that's all I got to say about that.
Awesome, man. Love that. Really nice words of advice from Techo himself. Awesome, man. So I guess for everyone listening in that wants to, I guess, follow your own graphics, follow your own story as well, where can we find you on all your socials?
You can definitely look at me on like Instagram and Twitter. Those are my two biggest ones. I don't really mm-hmm. go anywhere else. I also have a YouTube channel, which is Techro, but I don't really post too much on there. But definitely those two channels. My Twitter is definitely the biggest one. I'm not really too big on Instagram, but Twitter is where it's all at. I feel like that's where I get a lot of my business too. So I think Twitter for a lot of people is definitely the way to go, and that's definitely where I'm at always.
Awesome, man. And I ask it at the end for almost every guest. Where did the name Techro come from?
Techro? So that was like, I had this whole list, and I remember I had like tech in there.
Yep.
And I think the whole idea at that time, I had like a few names like Gravity and mm-hmm. Verify. And I had this, what was it? It was... I don't remember. It was like I had these like crazy eccentric names like Zuka and all these like kind of like similar to Zuma, but
yeah.
I think Techro, it was almost from a movie, a sci-fi movie.
Yeah.
And they kind of just mentioned it. It was, I forget which movie it was, but it had like the whole tech vibe. And I don't know. At that time I was listening to a lot of like techno, and I kind of just made it with Techro somehow, so that's where the name really comes from.
Awesome, love that, man. Fantastic. Well, yeah, I really appreciate you jumping on today, man. It was awesome to really get your mindset towards design, and you know, obviously I haven't really done this kind of episode before, so it was really awesome just to hear from a different perspective, you know, an outlook into the industry, but also some of those kind of underlying mindsets that you go through, whether it be, you know, does this design look good, expanding into your own style, and you know, that whole idea of diversification within the industry, which is awesome, man.
Yeah, this has been a golden opportunity for me, so it's been really good.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I really appreciate you coming on, man, and enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you. You too.
No worries, man.